Okay. The hatch sealed. Everyone on board okay? Setting the date. Activating the flux capacitor. Here we go. Welcome to 1957. Everyone make the trip okay? Kept your head and arms inside the windows, I hope. Poor Gigi's Boo couldn't make the inaugural trip on the time machine. She's doing about 102 fever. She's laying over here listening in. She's not going to let me get too far away. Hope everyone's doing well. Welcome to Top 10 Countdown with Gary and Gigi's Boo. Yes, we're in 1957, and our new time machine seemed to work pretty well. Yeah, it gets a little cramped inside that DeLorean with all these people, but, you know, anything's possible in this quantum world that we have. So, yeah, so we're doing really well over here. We hope everyone is, too, with the RLM chat and RLM radio and the Discord chat and Suspect Sky and Eva and everyone over there made the trip on the time machine okay. So we're all present or accounted for. Gotta love it. Since Gigi's Boo's not here, I'm going to slow the tempo down a little bit. You know how it is, especially since within the top 10 for 1957, the same song placed twice in the top 10 by different artists. So we'll skip the number 8 one, and we'll play the number 4 version. No, Gigi's Boo, yeah. But she'll be all right. We'll bust out a bottle of white liquor, and she'll be rolling here before long. Anyway, hope everyone, like I said, is doing well. We're doing okay, hanging in there here at Forward Operating Base Stingray, where the sky is blue, the breeze is calm, and it's about 79 degrees. It's okay, so with all that in mind, how about we talk about the number 10 song? Guess who it is? Gigi's Boo's, I think, almost favorite artist, Perry Como, with Round and Round.
Find a wheel and it goes round, round, round as it skims along with a happy sound as it goes along the ground, ground, ground till it leads you to the one you love. Then your love will hold you round, 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 and your heart's a song with a brand new sound, and your head go spinning round, 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 'cause you found what you've been dreaming of. In the night you see the oval moon going round and round in tune, and the ball of sun in the day makes a girl and boy wanna say, find the ring,
find the ring,
and put it round, 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 and with ties so strong the two hearts are bound, put it on the one you found, 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 for you know that this is really love. Find a wheel, and it goes round, 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 little skims along with a happy sound as it goes along the ground, 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 till it leads you to the one you love. Then your love, you hold it round, 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 and your heart's a song with a brand new sound, and your head goes spinning round, 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 'cause you found what you've been dreaming of.
In the night you see the overmoon going round and round in two. And the ball of sound in the day makes a girl and boy wanna say,
find the ring,
find the ring,
and put it round, 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 and we're tied so strong, your two hearts are bound, put it on. The one you found, 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 for you know that this is really love. Find the ring, put it on, for you know that this is really love, really love, really love.
Yeah, Perry, round and round. The 1957 number 10 hit. Done on RCA Victor, released January 15th, 1957. It was particularly notable for its instrumental backup. Yeah, had Mitchell Ayers and his orchestra playing in the background there. And counterpoint melodies were being sung by the Ray Charles Singers. Did you know that? Who gradually join in on the refrains. And they gradually drop out before the songs fade. That's pretty creative. Pretty creative. Yeah, there again. Welcome to the Top 10 Countdown with Gary L. and Gigi's Boo. Gigi's Boo in the bed, running the fever. And, you know, he can't always be on top of the game, but we are most of the time, I think. So, let's see here now. Take a look in the chat room. We've got quite a crowd in the chat room here. Glad to see that. Yeah, let's see. What's going on in the news? Lots and lots of news. Let's just skim down through some of the characteristics from 1957, but I'll start with a personal one. I entered the first grade in 1957, going to a three-room schoolhouse. This is no joke. Three-room schoolhouse with outhouses, a hand pump, two teachers, seven grades. In two of the rooms, the first through the fifth were in one room, and the sixth and the seventh were in another room. And there are some obvious benefits to that, if you think about it. And it seems like recess was half of the day, and had coal-burning stoves. In fact, we'd get in trouble in the wintertime. Of course, when it snowed, you went to school, and only everyone walked, for the most part, from neighborhood schools. And we'd get in trouble with our cork-soled work shoes and stick them on the stove to warm your feet up. And of course, the smell of burning cork isn't the most pleasurable thing, so we'd get yelled at. Anyway, that was the days in 1957 that I somewhat recall. But you know, a house, an average house, new house, cost $12,200. And you could afford that because you were making $4,500 a year. So roughly a third in 3 years, you made the equal amount to build a house. I wonder what that ratio is now. Hard to say. Hourly rate was $1 an hour. If you rented a place, it was $90 a month. So what do you know about that? Now let's jump on over here. Let's go to the next song on the Top 10 Countdown. Let's see, who is that? That is, oh no, I bet you could guess this. It's Elvis. Too Much.
Your daddy wrong. Now you got me started. Don't you leave me broken up.
Elvis, number one song recorded in a hit version by Elvis Presley and published by the Elvis Presley Music in 1956, actually. The song was written by Bernard Wineman and Lee Rosenberg. It was first released in 1955 by Bernard Hardison on Republic Records. Presley recorded the song in 1956 and first performed it, guess where? On the Ed Sullivan Show. On January 6, 1957. After that, it reached the number one on both the Cashbox and Billboard chart sales and went through the number three on the R&B chart. The single peaked at number two on the then-named Top 100 chart, the main Billboard pop chart. Yeah, old Elvis, you can see he was on fire. He came out the gates on fire. I want to talk a minute about Gigi's Boo's MRI. It went quite well. And some speculation, perhaps rightly so, that what she's suffering from now may have originated from that location. Could be. Who knows? We have our own thoughts about what's going on with all this. And let's just say that perhaps it's convenient to have people coming down with temperatures and flu-like symptoms. And, oh my God, we need to get a jab. But let's not do that. This show is not about that. This show is about enjoying the yesteryear and all the great things that transpired during that period, or during that broad period, actually, when things seemed to be a little bit easier going. So anyway, looking back now, let's see what else was going on in 1957. Guess how much bacon cost a pound? Think about how much you pay today. 60 cents. 60 cents a pound. If you want to get your eggs with that, that's 28 cents a dozen. Right? So you can just about easily notice that prices, actually the purchasing power of the dollar, has been reduced by a third, to a third, by 66%, apparently, round about that. Yeah, a gallon of gas, 24 cents. Wow, you go riding around with that. If you want to get a hi-fi portable record player is $80. Big money in those days. And, you know, I guess the technology wasn't quite as inexpensive as it is in coming from foreign countries today. You know, Russia launched Sputnik 1, the first Earth orbiting satellite. And that was on October 4th, 1957. Yeah, pretty good stuff. Having said all that, what time is it? Oh, it's close enough. Why don't we have a contest of some sort? What do you want to do this time? Okay. This one's a little weird. But what's odd about it is when I saw this, and when I was doing the research and I saw this, it spurred this memory that I actually had one of these. And so we'll throw it out there to the larger chat to see if anybody can remember what exactly was originally called the Pluto Platter. Pluto Platter. Okay, what was called originally the Pluto Platter? It was, let's see if I know who invented this thing. Yeah, a guy by the name of Walter Frederick Morrison, rather. got this idea. In the late 40s, there's a hint, hint. Something in the late 40s inspired the Pluto platter. He developed a plastic version specifically designed to fly easily. Any guesses? Well, how about, let's do a little another hint. He was hoping to cash in on the alleged flying saucer UFO sightings at the time. That should give it away. Anybody know what it is now? waiting. Because of the lag, of course. Alrighty. No guessers. The toy company Wham-O bought the Pluto platter and changed its name to the Frisbee. Sadie's got a couple of those. And I actually remember the Pluto platter. I had one. Oh, I wish I had it now. I mean, it was original. I suspect that would be worth a lot of money at this point. Yeah, that was pretty fun. Pretty fun. Dragged it out there a little bit. Yeah, Grimner said something at Disneyland. Well, I guess they probably had something like that at Disneyland. And Adrian said a spinning serving tray. Close. Getting close. Oh, well. Anyhow, let me move on to the next song. That's one we're going to skip. The number 8 song. Okay, go to number 7. Singing the Blues, Guy Mitchell. I think you guys are going to remember this one.
Well, I never felt more like singing the blues, 'cause I never thought that I'd ever lose your love. Why'd you do me this way? You got me singing the blues.
Seven, Guy Mitchell singing the blues. I remember that song. I guess maybe a few of you might remember that. I thought it was a pretty catchy little tune. It was originally performed by Marty Robbins in 1956 and is not related to the 1920 jazz song Singing the Blues that was recorded by Frank Trumbauer and Bix Beiderbecke. Ooh, what a name. 1927. Yeah, this Guy Mitchell version is the best known one. It spent 10 weeks at number 1 on the U.S. Billboard chart. And it was Mitchell's second and last hit in Italy. Interesting. Yeah. Lots and lots of people have done this song. I won't go through all that. But yeah, that was fun. That was certainly a fun song. Well, you know, it's nowhere near as fun without the Gigi's boo here. Really, really sorry she couldn't make it. You feel like a one-armed paper hanger or a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest. I'm not... Either way, it's not near as much fun. Okay, let's take a look here. What's going on in 1957? Did you know the Hamilton Watch Company introduced the first electric watch in 1957? Hmm. Here's your trivia question, Grimnir. And did you know that John Lennon and Paul McCartney met for the first time in 1957 when they were teenagers, and they met at the Woolton Feet 3 years before forming the Beatles? So there's a little background information for you. And guess what debuted on the ABC television network? Kind of similar to what we're doing. American Bandstand first came out in 1957. All right, let's jump along here. 22 after. Let's go ahead and play another song. And let's see, what's next? What's next on the top 10? Don't Forbid Me. Ooh, it's a Pat Boone song, Forgive Me. Not a big Pat Boone fan, but nonetheless, here's number 6.
Don't forbid me to hold you tight. Darling, don't forbid me to hold you tight. Let me hold you in my loving arms. 'Cause it's cold and I can keep you warm. Don't forbid
Pat Boone, 1957, number, I lost track of which one it was. I like that. It's what happens when you're by yourself. Number 6, yeah, don't forbid me. Number 6 of 1957 was a popular song that was written originally by Charles Singleton, and he wrote a whole lot of compositions. One of the biggest ones was called Trying to Get You, which had previously been recorded by Elvis Presley at Sun Records. Don't Forbid Me was a number one hit for Pat Boone and also peaked at number 10 on the most played R&B in jukeboxes. Now here's an interesting little tidbit about this song. Pat Boone's recording and 1957 hit record came about because the demo was first sent to Elvis, but it laid unopened in his house. Elvis said, it laid there with all the junk that comes here. It was revealed that by Presley during the Million Dollar Quartet Jam session in December 4th, 1956, before Boone's recording came out. Presley cut a fast minute and 20-second version of the song with the Million Dollar Quartet, but it laid lost with all Sun Records tapes of that session, and it laid lost for 25 years. How fun these strange twists and turns are, not only in music industry, but I guess in life overall. Strange twists. All right, let's jump over to find some more happenings. What kind of happenings in 1957? Looking at almost to the bottom of the hour, top 10 countdown, Carrie Ellen, Gigi's Boo. What we got going on here? What else going on? How about who won the World Series? I'm not even going to make a contest out of that. Now, this one's, the reason is, and because someone new shows up. It wasn't the Yankees beating the Brooklyn Dodgers for once. So anybody have an idea? Just a quick little guess about who won the World Series in 1957. I give you a clue. It was kind of a Midwestern team. Anybody have any thoughts on that? Anybody answer? Nobody's answering. Nobody's. You know, it's not as much fun without the Gigi's Boo. I understand that. We're doing the best we can. So, no guessers on the World Series in 1957. All right. Well, how about the Milwaukee Braves? Hey, Milwaukee Braves. A Moose Girl would probably get a handle on that one. They defeated the New York Yankees in the 1957 World Series. How about the Stanley Cup? Now, this one should be a little more. Oh, wait a minute. Suspect Sky said Milwaukee. Did you say that beforehand? Because the window was covered up and I didn't see it all. Let me see if Adrian might have won this. I think he did. Well, how about it, Adrian?
Winner.
There you go. That's another problem. You know, you're running solo. Can't help but two eyes and 15 windows opened up. So let's go. Let's jump on the Stanley Cup. And, Wild Island Cat's not listening. She would know that. Montreal Canadiens again defeated the Boston Bruins. So the Stanley Cup in 1957. Yeah. All right, one more thing that we always do. How about the Kentucky Derby? I'm not going to make a contest out of this because Grimnir will readily admit that he doesn't track the Kentucky Derby. I don't think most people do, especially the historic ones. 1957. Anybody have a guess about the 1957 Kentucky Derby? Here's a hint. The first name deals with a ferrous metal. Okay. Iron Liege. Iron Liege won the 1957 Kentucky Derby. Okay, and just in time for the second contest, right at the bottom of the hour, and this is going to be I think most people will get this, but we'll give it a shot. This TV series first aired on CBS in 1957. It depicted an average American family with two young boys. Does anyone have any idea the name of that show? Okay, I saw an answer pop up in the Discord chat and also in the RLM chat. We have two winners. We have Five Mujiks and we have Grimnir, and they both correctly identified it as Leave It to Beaver.
Winner.
Yeah, Gigi Boo will readily tell you that she thought that was a silly show. And I guess on balance it was. But at the time, it was kind of designed to, yeah, it's chicken dinner winner, Grimnir and Five Mujiks. Yeah, it was kind of designed to represent your, I guess, your baby boomer family, kids next door getting in trouble, stuff like, you know. Just an interesting show. It was on for quite a while. I don't remember exactly how long it was on. But Leave It to Beaver was the correct answer. And you got that one right. Okay, so let's jump over to number five song. And getting back to an instrumental, we still see this give and take. Rock and roll, and then you have the instrumental. So this instrumental is called So Rare, and it's by Jimmy Dorsey. By Jimmy Dorsey, So Rare. Interesting to hear that music mixed in with the rock and roll, as we previously noticed. It was published originally in 1937 by composer Jerry Hurst and lyricist Jack Sharp. Became a hit for Dorsey in 1957. A version by Carl Ravel and his orchestra from 1937 may be the earliest recording of the song, although it's unclear whether it was the first released version. We had Guy Lombardo and Gus Arnhem both had versions of it. And guess what? Before it was even recorded or published, Fred Astaire had sung So Rare on his radio show, The Packard Hour. The writer for the show, Jess Oppenheimer, remembered that. He said he recommended the song on behalf of his friend, Jerry Hurst, who was the composer. And according to Oppenheimer, this led to So Rare being snapped up by a publisher who heard it on the program. So funny how those things turn out, right? So, yeah. So rare, so rare. So I'm feeling so rare. Who else is feeling so rare tonight? Yeah, anybody got the comments going on? We're shooting a Waskily Wabbits over in the RLM chat room. We got Waskily Wabbits just ignoring you while they just eat your food. Yes, yes, yes. All righty. Let's see. It's 36 minutes in. All right. What else we got going on here? How about some of the movies? Here are some movies that came out in 1957, some of which I think people will remember probably at least four of them. How about The Bridge Over the River Kwai? That released in 57. 12 Angry Men. I remember that. That was a pretty intense movie. A movie called Sayonara. Released in 57. Peyton Place. I think everyone's heard of that one. That released in 57. And Witness for the Prosecution. So I actually had a couple of courtroom-based movies come out in 1957. How interesting. Okay, let's move along here. Let's go on to the next song, number four song. This is the one we skipped over, number eight. And it's a song that I think most people who listen to this era will probably recognize. Young Love by Tab Hunter.
They say for every boy and girl there's just one love in this whole world, and I know I found mine. The heavenly touch of your embrace tells me no one could take your place.
Young Love. How many people remember the Young Love? It's been a while since I could make that claim. Yeah, we're having a good time over here at the Top 10 Countdown. Gary L., Gigi's Boot, RLM, and Discord. Yeah, I had some comments coming in over here. Five Music says he's so rare that he's raw. I was a peacekeeper on this last song. So I used to hear this on the radio in Southeast Montana in 1963. Yeah, it sounds about right. Yeah, it said back in the day when restaurants had mini jukeboxes at each booth, and for one nickel you could get three songs. You know, I kind of remember that. So, yeah, those were the days for sure. Music was certainly prolific at that point. And over, see over here, let's see how the rabbit's doing at the RLM chat. Well, let's see. I guess the rabbit got away. They typically do. Yeah, see. And so I know that apparently a news article's come out that a cougar rattles the neighborhood after breaking into an Eastern Washington home. Yeah, I don't know. A mountain lion inside your house would probably not be a fun experience. But the song you just heard, Tab Hunter, is also done. The Young Love was done by a whole bunch of different people. A lot of people covered it. And it was Sonny James was one. Tab Hunter, of course, that you just heard. The Crew Cuts and Donny Osmond, of all people, scored a number one hit on the UK singles chart in 1973 with that song. Pretty interesting stuff. Okay, where are we at time-wise? How are we doing here on the Top 10 Countdown? Let's look at number three. Let's do one more song, and then we'll have our final Jeopardy question. It's a good one, too. So let's do a good one here by the Diamonds, Little Darling. You guys know this one. I could see Hal over there behind the woodshed over there chair dancing to that song. I just could see it happening. Little Darling by the Diamonds. Yeah, the Diamonds. I had trouble finding imagery to cover the Diamonds. But this song was written by Maurice Williams with both melody and doo-wop accompaniment, strongly emphasizing the clave. I'm not sure what that is, the clave rhythm. It was first recorded by Excello Records in January 1957, quickly released as a rhythm and blues song by Williams' R&B group, the Gladiolas. The song is noted for its spoken recitation by the lead singer, "My Darling, I Need You," in quotes. The Gladiolas, featuring Williams, were from Lancaster, South Carolina. Gigi's Boo. I bet you know where that is. And they've been together since high school when they released that on the small Excello label. The Diamonds, though, successfully covered the song a month later. And the Diamonds were a Canadian pop group that evolved into a doo-wop group. The Diamonds version reached number 2 in sales for 8 weeks on the Billboard Hot 100. The Billboard ranked this version as the number 3 song in 1957. The Diamonds version is generally considered superior. I guess that's, matter of taste, wouldn't you say? I would think so. Okay, how about for the final Jeopardy? We got a good one here for this one. We show enough do. I got to get it up. This will be the fun part. There we go. Okay. Now, I want you to think this through very carefully, because you will know the answer to this if you just don't overthink it. Here we go. Leonard Bernstein debuted a musical on Broadway which brought violence to the stage. Who knows what musical that was? Okay, the Leonard Bernstein musical that first portrayed violence on the stage at a Broadway show. And I'll give you a hint. Later on, it became a movie that was very popular. Anybody have any clues? Any ideas? That's the best I can give you. Okay. Oh, I think Adrian has a handle on it. Adrian has correctly identified this as West Side Story.
Winner!
Yeah, West Side Story. That was a modern version, I guess, of Romeo and Juliet, for those who keep up with that sort of thing. Good job over there at the Discord chat. Adrian got it. Yeah, Grimner had guessed Grease, but I think Grease came out a couple years later, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Isa Peacekeeper said, I make a terrible Jeopardy contestant. Be asking Alex to repeat the question while I yammered on. I would as well. Don't get me wrong. I have troubles with those kinds of things, so. You know, thinking quick on your feet. That happens better with more kinetic circumstances than being asked some kind of crazy question. Okay, who's ready for Pat Boone? Pat Boone again. The number two song. All righty. Love Letters in the Sand. I think we'll know this one.
On a day like today, we pass the time away, writing love letters in the sand. How you laughed when I cried each time I saw the time take our love letters.
enough letters in the sand. Pat Boone. I was told during the song play, Brenda told me, or she asked me to ask you if you know whose daughter that Pat Boone married. I guess there's a little bit of symmetry in this. Anybody have any idea whose daughter Pat Boone married? Tick tock, tick tock. Any guesses? Okay, how about Red Foley? Red Foley's daughter. I had no idea. I had no idea that was the case. So yeah, here we go. We're at that time of the night where we have to come up with another song to stick in here, especially since we skipped one. We also had to double entry in the top 10. So let's see. We need to spin the wheel. Gigi's Boo normally does this. And I'm not very good at spinning the wheel. So let me give it... Let me reach over here and give it... Oh, good golly. Yeah, as you know, we spin the wheel at this point in the show to land on a number so we can pick a song out of the top 100 and play it before the number one song. All right, how about number 43 it landed on? And you know what number 43 is? It's actually a song that I had never heard of. But it's fun, and I think you'll enjoy it. Short Fat Fanny, Larry Williams. Did you know that that was his second single release after High School Dance? Okay. His original track peaked at number 5 on the U.S. pop chart, not the number 1 on the R&B chart. Sold over 1 million records, and it was his first 1 million record seller. Lots of people covered that song, including the Beatles. In the filming of the documentary Let It Be in 1969, it was also recorded on the film soundtrack and is featured on many bootleg recordings. Short Fat Fanny was an early example of a novelty genre including pop song titles. I'm sure that wasn't lost on everyone, all the different titles that were included in the lyrics. This formula was later used for Bobby Darin's Splish Splash and Bob Cayley's Everyone Was There, as well as both of Billy and Lily's hits, La-Di-Da and Lucky Ladybug. The song was also covered by Billy Preston, the Beatles, Little Richard, Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, Curtis Johnson, Ronnie Self, the Dovells, and Johnny Winter. Frankie Avalon also recorded this. This song got around. Kind of a fun song, I thought. I hope you agree. And so this brings us now, I'm afraid, because, you know, it's time to go. Oh, no. And Hal over behind the woodshed was clearing up the dust from all the dancing around his chair. I mean, that's pretty cool. Yeah. It'll all settle down. Don't worry. And it'll be back in place for next week's show. When Gigi's Boo comes back in the Top 10 Countdown with Gary Allen and Gigi's Boo, I guess that's time for us to roll out the door. And just like last week, Elvis is going to take us out of the building along with him. Yeah. We appreciate all you folks having showed up, and thanks so much for spending your time. And apologies again that Gigi's Boo wasn't here. I mean, she's the hit of the show. I'm just along for the ride. Okay. Everyone have fun and be safe and have a good, safe holiday tomorrow. All right, we'll see you next time on the Top 10 Countdown with Gary Allen and Gigi's Boo. Okay, Elvis, take us out of the building.
Well, bless my soul, what's wrong with me? I'm itching like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting wild as a bug. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Yeah. Well, my hands are shaking and my knees are weak. I can't seem to stand on my own two feet. Who do you think of when you have such luck? I'm in love. I'm all shook up. Well, please don't ask me what's on my mind. I'm a little mixed up, gonna feel fine when I'm near the girl that I love best. My heart beats so it scares me to death when she touches my hand. Oh, what a chill I got. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say that she's my buttercup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. My tongue gets tied when I try to speak. My insides shake like a leaf on a tree. There's only one cure for this body of mine. That's to have that girl and a love so fine. She touched my head and what a chill I got. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say that she's my buttercup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up.